One of the important balances that we're required to have as Christians is to have kind of a sobriety about sin and a zeal to draw souls to Christ. But we also need to balance it with a patience, which is willing to wait, which is willing to constantly work, but willing to accept the fact that often in conversion, it is a process that requires waiting, that requires us to be very patient. And the Lord wants to balance both of those understandings in today's scripture. Because we see that while he speaks of a day of judgment that will come upon this whole world, he also says it's not yet, it's not now. And there are these rather zealous field hands that want to go and rip out all the weeds. We have that in the church today, you know, zealous reformers. I consider myself a reformer. I think there's need for reform in the church at many levels. But one of the dangers is that we want to run in there and just start tearing out weeds. And the Lord says, whoa, wait a minute. Let's be careful. And let's not damage the wheat. So the Lord wants us to balance a need for zeal for his kingdom with a patience to allow it to, if you will, come to the harvest. So with that in mind, I want to speak to you today on this topic because I want it to be personal as well as a question of the church. But the question is you is or is you ain't a saint? Is you is or is you ain't a saint? Now, one of the dangers is that sometimes in our zeal for reform in the world, we want to call down God's lightning. And call down his wrath. But before you ask God to destroy sinners from the face of the earth, be very careful. Because you just don't know exactly what category you're in if you're not careful. So today, I want to look at this gospel, and let's look at it in four stages, if you will, or that the Lord wants us to appreciate about working for reform, personally, as well as for others, and in the church, but also balancing it with patience. The first thing the Lord tells us today is to wake up. Wake up! It says here in the text that Jesus proposes parable, that the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And that's Jesus. And while everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and went off. Did you see that phrase, while everyone was asleep? See, that's when the devil went to work, while everyone was asleep. Now, some of you who are older than I remember a time when many of the struggles that we have in America today about moral issues and so on were not like they are today. We've been through a kind of a revolution. There are certainly things that are better today than they were in the past, particularly in the area of civil rights. But I'll say that we're also aware that we've been through a sexual revolution, we've seen the breakdown of families, we've seen very, very significant and serious social trends that have set up in our country that are not of God and may destroy us. And through this time, Satan has been working. He's been working to undermine marriage, working to distort sexuality. We see so much confusion about it, pornography, and we see all kinds of questions of a so-called homosexual marriage, and we see all kinds of questions and confusions about people thinking that it's okay to have premarital sex, and on the issues go. And we see that there's problems today about life issues regarding abortion and euthanasia, and just endlessly the list goes on. And brothers and sisters, through a lot of this period, I have to say with great shame that the church has been asleep. You know, in 1969, the first no-fault divorce laws were being passed. And before that year, the sexual revolution really began to reach steam, and the Woodstock stuff and all that stuff, and smoking dope and dropping out of school, and all of those things were going on. And what were we doing in the church? You know, we were moving furniture around and tuning up guitars, and we were talking about, you know, having endless debates about authority in the church, and we were mainly inwardly focused. See? Now, I don't mean to say there aren't legitimate questions for us to consider inside the church, but if that's all we're doing, debating among ourselves about who can be a priest and who can't, and who has authority and who doesn't, and why does the church teach this or not that, if all we're doing is debating among ourselves, we're in trouble. And we were kind of sleepy while the world was going crazy. Where was the church when those no-fault divorce laws and things that made divorce so easy and made divorce skyrocket? Where was the church? Well, again, we were focused on other things. In some sense, we were asleep. But don't just blame the church, and don't just blame church leaders. But in a way, all of us have to realize that it's too easy for us to become sleepy and dreamy. It's too easy for parents to become preoccupied with other things and not have a real sober understanding of what's going on in their children's lives. Asleep while their children are watching God knows what on the TV, where they're surfing on the internet, what music they're listening to and what it's teaching them, who their friends are. It's just too easy to go to sleep. And when we go to sleep, and when we lack vigilance, Satan goes to work. And that's when he sows most of the seeds of destruction. So the Lord, first of all, wants to teach us that we have to stay awake. We have to be alert to the signs of the times. Again, it's too easy for us to just get into our own little world. You know, I just ask you a few questions. You know, are you aware of some of the important moral topics today? Do you listen to the news at all? Do you read and try to stay in touch with the teachings of the church? The responses that are being made to some of these moral issues. We're in difficult times. And I tell you, if we don't turn this problem around with our families, start to turn the divorce rate around, start to once again get back in the business of really raising our children, spending time, probably not going to make it as a culture. Now, the church will continue, but even the church is being diminished in numbers, because we have not really worked carefully at handing on the faith. So, brothers and sisters, as secularism increases, and not just secularism, but an outright hostility to faith, and particularly to the Christian faith, it's going to get tougher. We're going to face more persecution. We've got to wake up. We've got to sober up, and we've got to realize that we're dealing with a situation today that is going to become more and more difficult for a while. Again, we've just got to keep working, stay awake, and study, and pray, and ask the Lord to touch our minds, to help us to begin to understand how to repropose the gospel to our children, to our grandchildren, to our co-workers, indeed to this whole culture. Because again, we've seen a real change in just 50 years in this country, in all these areas. And again, part of the problem is a lot of us in the church have been asleep. So the first thing the Lord says to us then is to wake up. And the next thing he says is, I want you to wise up. Now, I've already kind of laid the groundwork for this, but the text simply says this. Jesus says, when the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder said to him, Master, didn't you sow good seed in your fields? Where have all the weeds come from? And the Lord simply says in reply, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Once again, we've just got to be aware. Satan hates you. Do you understand that? Satan hates you, and he hates your children, and he's going after them. And he hates your grandchildren. And he hates the church. And he hates Jesus. And he hates anything that is good, decent, or virtuous. Satan hates it. It's Scripture says he is prowling like a roaring lion, looking to devour your soul. And so again, we've just got to wise up and realize that we've got an enemy. Back when I was in seminary, back in the early 80s, we were still coming through a trend where many were sort of denying Satan's main existence. He was more of a paradigm. He wasn't really a personal thing, but just a force of evil and negativity in the world. Listen, we gotta sober up. He is a fallen angel. He is a person. He's smart. He's intelligent. He's not just some vague force. And he has fallen demons and angels who work with him. And he is responsible for most of the destruction you see in this world, morally, spiritually, and even physically. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And Jesus just says he is an enemy. Scripture says he is our accuser. He is our accuser, our enemy. So again, we just have this clear description of Jesus. And remember, we're going to balance all this with another principle in just a minute, but let's just spend a minute here. The Lord says you got to wake up and you got to wise up. See, it's too easy for you to go to sleep and say, well, everything looks fine today. And while you're asleep, Satan goes to work. And he's your enemy. You got to wise up. But I want to be careful here when I say wise up, because I mean that one of the dangers when we have an enemy, particularly Satan, is to try to defeat him using his tactics. Now, first of all, if you're going to try to do a frontal assault on Satan, you're not that strong. You're going to say, well, God will help me. Well, maybe God didn't tell you to do the frontal assault. Just be careful now. Some of the ways that the Lord tells us to battle Satan are paradoxical. For example, how did Jesus battle him? In strength? Well, but in a paradoxical kind of a strength. He defeated him in his weakness. How do we defeat pride? With humility. You see, the worldly way is to say, I will defeat my enemy by becoming stronger and destroying him. You're on Satan's territory. That's not a good place to be. And we're not going to destroy him. So the Lord says, be a little more crafty than that. Satan's going to get you through your pride. So beg for humility. Get on your knees and ask me for wisdom from heaven. And I'm going to show you that it is often in your weakness. And the more you learn to depend on me, that you'll really be strong. So again, in saying that we've got to wise up and realize we've got an enemy, this doesn't necessarily mean we go to war. It means we pray, that we try to grow in humility, we begin to realize how much we really need the Lord, and we begin to depend upon him in great humility. So again, we don't use retaliation to conquer hatred. We use love. You remember Dr. King's memorable words, see? Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Likewise, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. You begin to see, therefore, when we say wise up and then we have an enemy, one of the mistaken notions is that means we have to go to war. But again, that war that we fight is a real war, but it's fought with very paradoxical, biblically based, cross-related tactics. You get the vision? All right, so the Lord says, wake up. You know, while you sleep, Satan goes to work. I don't know, he doesn't talk about physical sleep here. This is moral sleep. This is spiritual sleep. Be careful, stay sober and alert. And likewise, realize, wise up, you've got an enemy. But remember, you're going to defeat him often in paradoxical, unexpected ways. Now the third thing the Lord says, and here we begin to edge more into this other balancing principle. Because remember, the first two principles might suggest to us, man, I got to begin to go to war and duke it out, and I got to start tearing carrying out evil, and I got to attack, do frontal assaults on all these things. And listen, there's a place for some of that, at least in terms of the world. The Lord also says, be careful. He says, not only wake up and wise up, but he says, wait up. Wait. The text says, his slave said to him, don't you want us to go and pull up all these weeds? He replied, no. You might, if you pull up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. Now here, the Lord is very careful to give us a teaching. Now there are teachings where he says at times there are situations in the church that are so grievous that they have to be dealt with by excommunication. For example, in Matthew 6, the Lord says that if a person won't even listen to the church after you've tried to correct them, then let them be like a tax collector or a Gentile. In other words, consider them excommunicated. And Paul also talks about it in 1 Corinthians 5. But these are rarer approaches. Generally, we have to remember that in the church, we are running a hospital. And you know what you find in hospitals? Sick people. That's right. And even the nurses and doctors aren't perfect in a hospital. No doctor or nurse has perfect health themselves. And likewise, so you see, in the church, we have both saints and sinners. In fact, we're all sinners, let's be honest. We're hopefully on our way to being a saint, amen? But you see the vision. The Lord says, be careful. You see, because in our zeal to reform, we can sometimes overextend and become violent and unnecessarily harsh and strict in a way that people aren't ready to. We want to go from 0 to 100 in half a second, and all we get is whiplash. We're injured, and many people are hurt and lost and confused. So again, the Lord says, let them grow together to the harvest. There is going to be a day of reckoning. There is going to be a day. But listen. Go slow. Be patient. That day will come, but it's not now. It's not now. Now, why is this important? Brothers and sisters, the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord's patience is directed to our salvation. Why is the Lord patient? Why doesn't he come down from heaven and fix all this stuff with a zap? You know, you might just get lost in that zap. The Lord is very patient because he wants to save us. And there are people who still need time. And they have a right to that time to come to conversion. We have to keep persevering and preaching the gospel and never give up. But we have to realize that people will sometimes come to it in their own time. There's an old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And you know, to be honest, I look around this church and I look at myself. And there are some of us who needed time. We haven't always been right with God. We haven't always been in God's house. We haven't always, well, and some of us who are even here today are still struggling to get some of the pieces together. Amen? Careful. Before you start calling down lightning from heaven, careful. You might need more time. I know people in this church. I know people in my life and in my family who were in really bad shape, but they found conversion. And they made it back to God. God gave them the time they needed. I think of my father who was away from church for 30 years. I won't give you all the details, but let's just say he told me himself at the end of his life, Charlie, I did a lot of sinning. He spent the last 10 years of his life as a penitent, praying the Stations of the Cross every day. And I said, Dad, wow. He said, listen, trust me, I did a lot of sinning. You know, I'm 50 years old, but I'll have to say to you, I wasn't very serious about my spiritual life until I was about 25 or 26. You know, and you have your stories. And I know people in this church who were once far from God, And now they're here. But you see, God gave you the time. And God was patient with you. And you see the vision here. So the Lord is saying, look, I love my people and I want them to come to conversion. I want to give them time. Now, there is a day of reckoning. And it will come. But not yet. And not now. So we can become impatient. And listen, you know me, and I stand in this pulpit, and I rail against some of the trends in our culture, and I'm zealous about sin. But I want you to know, I love every one of you, and I love this country, and I love this world, and I want to just keep chipping away at the problem. I am not asking God to rain down fire from heaven, because I might just get consumed myself. You know, it's so easy for us to underestimate our own sin and look at the plank in our brother's eye. You know, we think he's got the plank and I've just got the speck. And the Lord says, careful, because the biggest plank is pride. I hope you're understanding the balance that the Lord is asking us today. You got to wake up and you got to wise up. There's an enemy out there. He's at work. You got to understand that. You got to be sober about it. But it doesn't mean you run to your kids and try to destroy them, to save them. It means you keep working, you keep praying, you're urgent, you talk to them in season and out of season. If you need to nag, you do a little of that, but you keep working at the problem. You keep showing love, you keep inviting, you keep preaching the gospel, but never forget that God loves every human being he ever created, and he wants to save every one of them, and he's patient, and he waits, and he works, and he's asking us to do the same. So they say, don't you want us to go and tear out the weeds? Careful, says the Lord. I don't want you to harm the wheat. And some of those weeds might become wheat. So listen, says the Lord. Wait up. Wake up and wise up. But wait up. And finally, the Lord just says, look, wash up. You know, it's too easy for us when we critique the culture around us. And we say, my, some people's children. It's too easy for us to look around and see that other folks are in bad shape. And listen, we're in a mess. Our culture and our world today in America and throughout the Western world is in a big mess. But you know where the reform's going to start? Right here with me. With me. And with you. So the Lord says, is you is or is you ain't a saint? The text simply says, I want you to understand something. The day of reckoning is not now, but there will come a day. And he says, the harvest time will come, and I will say to the harvesters, collect the weeds into bundles for burning, and gather the wheat into my barn. So in the meantime, we got to wash up. We got to keep asking the Lord to help us with our own struggle with sin, make us more holy, make us more credible witnesses to this world. Because frankly, one of the greatest struggles today for the church in terms of preaching the gospel credibly is that in many ways our own house is not in order. We've seen the scandals that have rocked the Catholic Church. There's scandals in other churches too. They just don't make all the headlines. But I'm telling you right now, and if you're a parent or a grandparent, you know this too, that your witness to the gospel is not credible unless your life begins to really reflect it. And if we're going to really change this world, we have to be changed. If we're going to set this world on fire, we have to become totally fire ourselves. So the Lord says, wash up. I've got a work for you to do. Satan's at work. You got to wake up and you got to wise up. You got to wait up. Don't go out and destroy. In the meantime, I want you to wash up. I've got a work for you to do. I want you to be a credible witness to my world. First step in doing that is to be holy. You know, committee meetings and flashy flyers and all that stuff is nice, but in the end, the most credible argument that you can offer to the world is a transformed life by me, Jesus Christ, who has changed you and transformed you, and now you're able to turn to your children and grandchildren and say, look what the Lord is doing in my life. I am a witness. Well, some songs come to mind. One song is that in that great getting up morning, fare you well, fare you well. We all have a day of reckoning to get ready. The Lord is not saying that day will never come. He's just saying it's not now. For now, keep working and be patient with yourself, with others, but keep working. Another song comes to mind, just says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Come home. Calling, O sinner, come home. And yet another song simply says this, pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. The Lord says to us today, be very balanced. Be aware, there's sin, it's real, you got to struggle and fight against it, but using the wisdom of the cross. And keep working, but be patient. Now is not the day for judgment. It will come, but for now, love everyone you encounter. Preach with love, preach with patience, but preach. Amen.